What a podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5.
Exit 216.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
God, that's loud.
Peacock!
Do what?
Peacock!
Welcome to Monday. It's a Terry and Gads Comedy Show.
Hey, number 650.
Hey. Today we talk about some crazy Floridians and Oregonians.
And something about TVs.
A lot of TVs.
Mm-hmm.
Shows.
TV shows.
TV shows.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Yep.
Bye.
Well, 50.
Don't be offering them no 250. No 650 either. Offer 350. 350.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the 350 cast. This is the Terry Gatz Comedy Show, Taycast Podcast. Number 650.
650.
I'm Terry.
I'm 50.
And I'm 52.
Wait, I'm 51.
She's in that show, isn't she? Look at, I'm already starting off tangenting.
I didn't see her yet, but I did see her in the preview,
yeah,
in the thingamajiggers. And in case you guys haven't fallen yet, it's just asleep. You're listening to in the background. We wanted to start off your Monday mellow and easy.
I like sleep.
This is from Sleep's Holy Mountain. It's called Nain's Baptism, and I just wonder who Nain is. N-A-I-N. Nain. Hey, Nain. What's up? He's getting all wet right now.
They meant... I don't know what they meant.
They meant Nain's baptism.
I'll look up Nain.
So,
Nain,
yeah,
was a baptism.
We're talking about 50. And then he talked about Molly Shannon being in Spoils of Babylon, which I wanted to babble on a little bit about because... As a child, I had to watch.
Town mentioned in Scripture only in connection with the visit of Jesus and the miracle of raising the widow's son.
Oh, well, Holy Mountain.
Or it might be a name of a traditional pattern and design of Persian carpet.
Nain.
Or it might refer to the North American Interfaith Network.
Nain. Dude, if you baptize an interfaith network, it will short out. But yeah, thanks for that research there.
Mm-hmm.
And someday when we get
Widow
to be,
of Nain,
when we get up and grow up in the podcast world, we'll have a little fact checker dude that just sits right there, and then and then Gatch will have to do it.
I won't
have to do it when he's talking. But I was a child once, and it was in the 70s, and my parents used to watch shows like Rich Man, Poor Man, the 5-night epic miniseries.
There was a lot of epic miniseries back then.
Starring Ryan O'Neal as some other person who is in a dispute with his family members about money and such. We've struck oil. Well, Spoils of Babylon, and I didn't even realize after seeing all the commercials.
What were you saying again there, sir?
Leading up to it, I'm seeing the Kristen Wiig and the, is that Toby
McGuire? I'd never even heard about it until I saw someone post about it.
I'd been seeing the advertisements for weeks.
I'll get that channel.
While I'd watched all my IFC shows, and I'd seen Kristen Wiig and Toby McGuire and several others. Didn't know that Will Ferrell and Adam McKay had anything to do with it, but they're the people. They didn't write it.
But...
It's so corny, dude. It's so, so, so corny. Like, I couldn't turn it off, though. And my wife was sitting there doing something on her computer, and it just kept, like, she'd just look at it and couldn't look away. And then she would laugh out loud, and we'd look at each other and we'd go, what? What? They struck oil. Tim Robbins, he's
classic.
Some
of the editing, though, was just, like, when they were... That chick was getting slapped around.
Dude, that was fucking funny. I was stupid, but I don't know. And then he's like...
Yeah. It was like all of a sudden, because the editing was kind of corny till the end, but it looked you know, consistent. But then at that point, it looked like they just handed it off to like a 13-year-old to edit.
Yeah, I don't know quite what to think. I'm glad it's only going to be like 5 or 6 episodes because I'll probably stick it out.
Well, but. Certainly. But, I mean, don't you think those people that are involved in that would be capable of putting together like a great miniseries isn't just like has to rely on campiness?
The cinematography is great for like the scenes in like the 30s when the dad came up and picked up Devin and made him his other son and all that. It looks genuine. And
but then you got the fucking
the car going
down
the track.
Yeah, the car being pulled around on a fucking fake
town. And then you
town.
Got like dubbed in like actual war footage, and then you got Tobey Maguire in a thing, and then oh, what about when he read the inscription on the watch? It just
yeah, it was says, like half the show.
You're fat.
There's more.
And he's like, "You're fat. Why did you say that?" He's like, "Let me see that. I was supposed to say your father, idiot." Should have worked on his spacing more. If he would have worked on his spacing, he wouldn't have... Dude, it was like 15 paragraphs. And I was watching him. That takes a great memorization actor.
Oh, for
he
sure.
wasn't reading that.
Yeah.
That was a long thing. And then like Tim Robbins is like reciting it with him. But yeah, if you guys are into anything campy or you know how weird and goofy Will Ferrell and Adam McKay can get, check it out. I don't know where else you can check it out besides IFC. Well, you saw it somewhere.
I think it could have been less campy and been greater.
Yeah. Still funny. But
no, but I'm saying greater, funnier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
More funny because it wasn't so...
Yeah. But I think they could do... and maybe this is just a setup for them to do something in the future because I hope they take another shot in a less campy way. Of trying to do like a good comedy miniseries, you know, because how many comedy miniseries are there really?
There's not many.
You know, if you think about like, especially just mainstream TV, even, you know, you think of most miniseries is like Lois and Dove or fucking Stephen King.
Those are the two. That's the two.
That's the two, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you come out with another Lonesome Dove.
Every 5 years comes out a new Stephen King miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've broken precedence and extended it to more seasons. The words like, that wasn't even, to me, The Dome wasn't even a miniseries. It was just a regular series.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what it was supposed to be.
Compare it to the book.
I tried to read the book again, but that fucking thing is huge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it needs multiple seasons. Maybe was that just the first chapter?
Yeah. That was just the first 3 pages. They really expanded on it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
You could write a hell of a book if you just wrote it on watches.
Yeah. And just have the cast just acting like... Or maybe I'm going to start writing my comedy bits on my grandfather's watch because that way I can also check my time and make sure I don't go over while I'm just reading. Mm-hmm. But some people frown on that.
Or you could just, the whole time you're doing your set, stare at a piece of rice, always maintaining that.
It's all written on
it's
there.
It's all written on here. I can't memorize anything, so I wrote it down on this grain of rice.
It's all in the rice, man. Yep. What happened to my grain of rice? Oh, I cooked it. Oh, that was my whole
And then you could lose it halfway between the set. You could drop it and fall to the floor and be all looking for it and freaking out.
Act like you're searching for a crack rock in the carpet.
Mm-hmm. Or Tommy Lee's contact.
Yeah. And so, you know, shit. We were talking before we got on the air about a show that Dustin said reminded him of being a fan of Deadwood, he would like the show. What show was that?
Justified. Just started its 5th season.
Speaking of that, I didn't even get a chance to watch any more Deadwood because I got my internet back and I went on a fucking Netflix binge. I don't know if anybody's ever not had Netflix for like 2 or 3 months after they have had it for years. But when you've had it for years, you go there every day or every week looking at the just added or new release section and it's always the same old shit. Boy, it was like Christmas after New Year's.
I bet.
For me. I got to catch up on all season 3 of The Louis Show, which Louis C.K. I didn't even know that it was out, but it was really pretty recent. It wrapped up a 2013 Christmas area. And guess who showed up on a couple episodes? Shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was Louis' trainer.
Hmm.
He was trying to... They had a few arcs. Usually his episodes are single episodes that have nothing to do with a continuous storyline. Mm-hmm. He's had other episodes where different people have played his mother, where mm-hmm. there's no continuation rules.
Yeah.
Continuity kinda or anything like
that. Like Simpsons almost. Kind
yeah,
of
yeah. But he had like a two-episode arc and a four-episode arc where he was going for the late show. Because was David Letterman really going to retire last year?
I don't know. I think maybe his contract was coming up and he probably like...
Didn't know if he was going to renew.
Or maybe just kind of like played that game.
Well, these episodes made it sound like they were looking at Jerry Seinfeld and Louis C.K. to take his place if he retired.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were looking at Louis for a standby because Seinfeld was going to cost $12 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Letterman was getting like 50 or something like that. And they said because of the whole thing, they ended up saying that Louis C.K. cost David Letterman $20 million because they ended up re-signing Letterman for $40 million. But I don't know if any of that's true if it's all just written. I know that it's loosely based on his life, but they told him he needed to get in shape because he was fat. And if you're going to be on TV every night, you got to look a little, you got to be pleasing on the eyes. And they were trying to get him to change his style. And his kids were asking him, you know, why are you working out, Daddy? You're fat. And he's like, well, yeah, because they want me to look
mm-hmm.
less fat.
I don't know. I never heard anything about that, but I don't really keep up with the late night scene.
I had never heard anything. And then I remember a vague memory of last night after watching it, trying to Google it. But I don't remember if my phone didn't connect or if I just took another bong hit and forgot. But I never got to that point. So, but yeah, that was a great. I binged watched the full 13 episodes in one day.
Nice.
They're only 20-minute episodes of this stuff.
I saw another Wire guy.
They're everywhere, dude.
Was in fucking American Horror Story.
I'm going to start watching that because now I got access to season two.
What's his name? Lieutenant Daniels.
Oh.
He played like a warlock or something, man. He was painted up and had like a fucking... coyote fucking thing hanging on his head. And
but you could recognize him from his voice, right?
Yeah, immediately.
You hear him talk.
Immediately, like, and then I thought, who is that? Because you couldn't really make him out. Oh, but you know, because he's all painted voice. And it's all dark because it's American Horror Story and they got to shoot everything dark.
His voice.
You ever watch Community?
I watched the first couple seasons when it was on around the time that The Office was on,
mm-hmm.
like back in whenever, 08.
Mm-hmm. When you had lazy thumb.
And the last time I watched it was when Jack Black was on there for a couple episodes. So.
Well, you know, now in this season, season five, what happened in there, I think after the second season, they got rid of the main show guy.
Is Joel the creative McHale guy. Oh, yeah. I heard that they did.
Dan something or other.
I saw an interview with the writer, Donald Glover.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually on that show, too, isn't he? That black kid.
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not for him very much longer, though.
Right. But is there was an interview I was reading, and some of the people were upset that one of the main creators was leaving.
Yeah. And it was a big thing. And, you know, they have diehard fans in a cult way. So it's kind of Dan Harmon. That's his name.
Oh, yeah. And he has a
podcast. And so they finally brought him back for season five.
Oh.
And I don't know. I haven't found one episode funny yet.
Yeah.
I watch it just because I've seen them all.
Does it still have Joel McHale?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't...
But Troy, or Donald Glover, a.k.a. Troy, is leaving mid-season. I don't know much about it, but I know he's going to do his other show.
Huh.
And they kind of hit on that. They're real meta.
Yeah.
You know? Which is weird. You know,
meta.
Just how they... You know, like the first episode was all about, this season was all about fucking something I don't remember. But
see,
it was
that's
real.
How good it is.
It was real in about is. Fucking what was going on within the show, you know, fucking, and all the things that have gone on that the fucking diehards would get and stuff like that.
Right. Bruce Willis.
And they throw in a fucking, yeah, they throw in like a Dave Matthews joke or have Dave Matthews. Doing the soundtrack, but fucking Ben Folds is the fucking guest appearing on the show.
Aren't those the same person?
You would think, right? And, you know, and then fucking... But who is on there this year is... well, you know, Chevy Chase's character died.
Ah.
basically, because they didn't...
right around the time his career did?
No, right around... Because him, I don't think he's ever gotten along on the show with
Joel?
No, with what they've wanted to do with his character. He thought that they fucking kind of boxed his character in, I think, to be kind of... play somebody that he couldn't really add anything to, maybe, or something like that.
Right.
Kind of made him just kind of a dumb character, and... He never really...
had no freedom to, like, expand on the lines just, or ad-lib.
Yeah, he just, from what I've read, didn't really enjoy being on the show or had disputes all the time. And so, yeah, he's gone now. And then the one guy's leaving. But I don't know, there's just some...
So it's slowly dying, yeah. Sounds to me.
Like. I mean, I thought it would have been good at 4 years because, I mean, how many years are you going to go to fucking... went to college.
Some people go for 7 years.
Yeah. But
some smart people like me just go for one.
The new guy on there, Starburns, is back, if anybody cares. You probably remember Starburns.
Yeah,
the star sideburns.
Didn't watch it enough to know the characters' names, but that sounds like I would remember if I saw him.
Yeah.
Because I didn't watch it.
You can go on the internet and watch his... a commercial for his new invention, the cat car, which looks like a sled being pulled, Santa sled being pulled by cats.
Does it have a cat driving the car as well?
No, it's him. The cats are pulling him in a Santa sled or something.
Oh.
But Jonathan Banks is on that show now. You know that guy, right? From Breaking Bad.
I don't know a lot of people.
The older guy.
That played Mike?
Yeah, that's Jonathan Banks.
Mike Ehrmantraut. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd seen him in any other any other shows.
He's in Community now. And I don't know. This last one that they did, this is what I was going to say in the first place, because I said something about one show being shot dark. It was all a kind of a spoof on, like, the crime drama TV shows that are always shot in the dark, and they're fucking... they always show clips of people that look like they could do whatever they're saying somebody did in the show, you know?
Right.
And I don't know.
Nah,
this doesn't make me laugh.
Well, good. Then that means I'm not missing out on much that I haven't watched.
Well, Jonathan Banks
said
some couple things funny. I don't know. Maybe it's for the younger crowd. That show's for a younger, hipper crowd than me.
The people whose parents aren't old enough to put them in real college and they can really associate with going to a community college, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. That kind of reminds me of, like, you know, what was that show? Van Wilder.
Oh, that movie?
Yeah, because he was, like, in college for 5 or 7 years or something.
Yeah.
He was just there to party, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if these guys on this show do a lot of partying or not, but some people just go to college to party.
Some of them do. You know, they
but
do
at a community
weird
college,
too.
You don't really got a lot of frat. You don't got a fraternity.
No, but like the dean's all weird and he'll throw parties and, you know, so you can cross dress and things like that. And this last one, the one about the crime caper thing, was somebody was fucking dropping quarters down ass cracks at school, and Troy Donald Glover was he had it happen to him, and so he was like he spent most of the episode being wheeled around like a veteran.
Huh.
He had fucking like the blanket around thing, fucking. Like, he had been very traumatized by the whole thing.
Well.
But, I don't know. The ass crack bandit.
That's cool, man. I'm going to try doing that, seeing if anybody knows that I'm just doing a copycat thing.
Yeah.
It's an expensive thing to do, though. You can't just go throwing quarters around. Like, in this day and age.
Well, think about it. If in a community college, you know, you'd have a lot of things. Like, you'd have the people... at the snack that ran the snack bar, they always got access to change.
Yeah.
Look at that guy over there with the roll of quarters on his desk.
Yeah. Look at me. I own a car wash. It's been closed down for a while, but yeah, I got
lost. If that happened in Brownsville, you'd be like the number one suspect.
That's right.
You know? Who gets more quarters in Brownsville than you?
Well, the businesses actually have to buy them from the bank, you know, like Jerry's and the Dairy Mart and stuff. And a lot of times I'll intervene to save them a trip and me a trip to the bank. I'll say, hey, you guys want to buy $80 worth of quarters? And so that could be, I could pitch the blame off to them and say, look, I've got people buying $50, $80 worth of quarters. You know how many ass cracks you could fucking bandit with $80 worth of quarters? That's a lot of fucking quarters. That's $40 or 40 quarters for every 10.
Yeah.
Four times eight. That's like 3,200 quarters.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Something like that. Sounds right. Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
That's 80 times money. Four.
Four times eight is 32. 3,200?
3,320.
320. Yeah, I knew that was a lot of quarters.
But still, businesses have $800.
How many people could you fucking ass crack bandit? Do you think you could do 320 in a day?
Yeah. No, well, that's why, like, that's a 20% of Brownsville.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, almost. Yeah, a fifth. Yeah, it is a fifth. You're smart. I'm dumb.
I was just taking a stab. I was going to say a third, but then I thought, well, that would almost be 1,000. I remember you saying over 1,000.
Yeah, it's 15 to 17. I think it's 1,600 and something.
Yeah, you charge them like a fee to go because you're saving them money that they don't have to go to the bank to buy all those quarters.
I don't because it's a family-owned business.
Yeah, you're like the you're the reverse of Coinstar.
They're saving me a trip to the bank, too.
Mm-hmm. You're like the reverse of Coinstar.
I am. I'm Starcoin.
Yep.
That sounds like Mr. Rogers almost at first. Hey, in case you don't notice, that's our crazy Floridian music. We got a story from Titusville, Florida today. It's about a Walmart, Florida. A Walmart in Florida. The assistant manager got fired for violating safety policies. Mike Dawson said he followed an accused shoplifter into the parking lot when the suspect allegedly stole more than 12 cases of beer from the store. The manager was attempting to take down the license plate number of the truck when the vehicle backed toward him, and so he jumped in the back of the truck to be avoided, ran over, and he ended up taking a 15-mile ride at speeds as high as 90 miles per hour. He was eventually able to get the attention of another motorist who pointed a gun at the driver and caused him to slow down enough for Dawson to jump out. But he was fired because he violated safety policies.
The driver?
No, the worker of the truck.
Because he jumped in there?
Yeah. Because he was, well, I guess, yeah. Because he ran out and tried to get, he was just doing his job. He wanted to save Walmart that 12 cases of beer. Mm-hmm. So he ran out and tried to take down the license plate number. They tried to run over him, so all he could do was, like, jump. And he ended up in the back of the truck.
Fucking crazy. Someone had to pull a gun on him to fucking make him
another driver. That's what I'm saying. Crazy Floridians. So he, like, got the attention.
That's why it's good that people have concealed weapons permits.
Yeah, they're like, hey, let that dude out. And give us at least 6 cases of the beer.
Mm-hmm. Guns save lives, and you don't have to pull the trigger.
Yeah. Well, luckily, the guy was charged and arrested with charged with armed robbery, grand theft, and now they tacked on a kidnapping charge. Because that's what he gets.
Crazy Floridians.
Yep. They're almost as crazy as these Oregonians. We like to match them up every once in a while.
My friend from Florida, Rob, he said he stopped listening after we talked about Florida. He lives in Florida.
Hey, Rob.
He was just kidding, though.
I hope you're back.
He said it with a smiley face winky.
Well, just because of that, Rob, we're going to tell you that you're not the only crazy people.
I told him, crazy people are everywhere. It's just in Florida, it's better weather for it. Like, oranges grow better there. Crazy people, they grow better there.
Yeah, and old people grow better there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you're not the only crazy ones, Florida. In Seaside, Oregon, same day. Police arrested a couple accused of attempting to tip their waitress with an envelope of crystal meth.
Certainly.
Ryan Benson and Erica Manley dined Thursday night at the Twisted Fish Steakhouse in Seaside, and they paid their bill with a gift card. The couple handed the waitress an envelope marked with a question mark for a tip. The waitress examined the envelope's contents and called police when she determined that it could be crystal meth.
Or anthrax. Wouldn't that be the first thing you'd think would be anthrax?
Well,
why would the first thing you'd think would be crystal meth?
Maybe they look tweaky.
Well, maybe.
The guy said, we're not a little dive bar or hole in the wall. We're a classy place. But they were still at their table when the police arrived at the eatery.
Mm-hmm.
And they searched her purse and found 17 ounces of meth.
Why would you ever expect
17 ounces of meth? That's a lot.
That is.
That's a lot of meth.
Yep, that's a little over a pound.
They found a meth lab at the Holiday Inn Express room where the couple had been staying.
Huh.
Seaside.
So
that's the best place.
Why would you ever suspect anybody in your restaurant, in any restaurant, though, of being a meth head? Because they're eating.
Yeah, well, it was the Twisted Fish restaurant. So maybe they just wanted to try something weird. They're freaking out. Maybe they're like doing the gag.
I gotta have some coffee. I gotta have some coffee.
Hey, you want to come back? Right, hey, here's a tip. What's in it? Question mark. Yeah. I don't know.
Let's go leave some. Yeah, that'd be weird in tip too. I mean. How much?
Well, it was inside an envelope, but it was in a baggie inside.
Yeah, well, I know, but I mean,
that's why they didn't.
I'm
think
just
it was
saying
anthrax.
That you know, I mean, it seems like a pretty big tip. I mean, any amount that would be like fucking worth a damn, right?
Well, it wasn't 17 ounces or anything.
No, but. No, but even fucking, even if you put enough for a small rail for somebody, that's still going to be fucking...
$20. Well, if they're making it at their fucking room and they got 17 ounces in her purse,
it's probably better than... It's probably easier.
Should we give her $6 or we could just give her like a bump?
It's like on Pawn Stars when that guy brought in that 1932 green car. And this
is, it was green?
It was green. It was one of those fancy cars from the 30s.
With the suicide doors and stuff.
Something
probably.
Like that. And he's like, fucking, I want 100,000. And then it shoots to the owner going, this could go for 170 easily. And then he's like, I'll go 75. And the other guy goes 100. And he goes 85. And the guy goes 100. And he goes 90. And the other guy goes 100. And he goes 95. And the guy goes 100.
What?
And then it goes back to the owner, and he's like, I hate guys that don't fucking bargain or don't negotiate. We're a pawn shop. And I'm thinking, you just said it's worth 170 at auction, but you'd probably have to put 10 grand into it to get it there. And you're squabbling between 95 and 100. You're just not, you just don't want to give the guy the 100 just on the basics of fucking you're a pawn shop and people should have to negotiate.
Weird.
So you know what the guy did?
I have no idea.
He took 95 grand in gold.
Huh.
That's what he settled on. Because that'll go up.
That will.
You
well,
know?
Yeah.
That fucking probably faster than that car will appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what does a car appreciate anyway? Nothing.
Yeah. It appreciates a good oil change once in a while,
mm-hmm.
maybe.
But, yeah. Especially that one, 1932. A weird looking car, and his fucking the coat he was wearing kind of matched it in a weird way, and it was weird because of the weird color that it was. It was almost like a pastel Mountain Dew color.
Yeah.
Paid in gold, which would be weird too, because they gave him one of those fucking sacks to put it in. So he's all fucking holding it over his shoulder
like
Santa Claus.
Like a little Jew gold sack?
Yeah. And I was
tied
thinking,
around his neck?
Yeah. It was a fucking holding like Santa Claus, a fucking
I know you got your
sack
Jew.
Of gold. I know like, you just walk around in the street with a sack of gold.
I know you got your Jew gold with you.
Mm-hmm. And it was only like fucking 30 coins. 30 gold coins, maybe.
Yeah, gold is... up there. Mm-hmm. Isn't it like $600 an ounce?
I know. But you see all those shows that are set in the past where people just like flip a gold coin to somebody for a tip. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Here you go, fling.
Like back in the old days.
I know. It's like that guy, man, that's $1,500 if you save that for today, wherever that gold coin is.
Yeah, that'd be like saving a... Oh, wait. No, it wouldn't. Never mind. It'd be like...
That's why I save pieces of bread, because bread goes up every day, and eventually that stuff's going to be worth a lot. So I save the heels.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And, yeah, I've been saving them for 6 years. They've already gone up. I've sold a few.
Huh. Right on. You gotta save
penicillin. Heels. You know, the price of penicillin goes up, too.
Yeah. I don't like penicillin. It makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah. A lot of people are allergic.
Have you heard of that new street drug that they have now?
Penicillin?
Methadrone. And I'm not being...
Methicillin?
I'm not having a lisp. It's M-E-P-H. Methadrone.
Mephedrone, no.
Or it could be Mephedrin.
Mephedrin?
I doubt it, because the
Max Headroom?
It's the new Max. Well, for short, because it's hard to pronounce, they call it Meow Meow.
Mm. Meow, 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 meow.
Apparently popular in the UK, but it's not going to be popular now because a deranged student in the UK cut his own penis off with a knife after...
Meow, meow!
Yeah, after taking some meow, meow, he stabbed his mom and cut off his dick. They called him a spaced-out teenager who was formerly a lovely lad. Police raced to the scene after the 46-year-old woman called 999, which I guess is the UK equivalent of 911. They found
most spaced-out teenagers were once formerly young lads.
Lovely lad.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say he was young. But he's only 19 now. Once the police arrived, they found her son hanging out of a bedroom window with blood pouring out of his genital area.
Huh?
Man.
That would be gnarly, man. Yeah. Stay away from the meow meow.
They were able to sew his penis back on.
Mm-hmm.
He took the Mephedrone shortly before the incident.
Mm. So, yeah, cat owners and dog owners now can choose between meow meow and roofies.
Yeah. Yeah, meow meow and roofies. That's the... You know, and even people are
so
still...
Don't mix them up either, because you don't want to give a roofie to somebody.
And then they'll cut your dick off.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you think you're going to get some action
if
putting that
give...
little date rape drop in there, but you accidentally mix it with your meow meows, and next thing you know, your fucking dick's ripped off.
And then it's more like... Wow!
Yeah.
And if you accidentally give a woman meow meow, she can't cut her own dick off because she doesn't have one, so she'll cut off the nearest dick next to her, which is you thinking that she's been roofied and you're going to get a little meow meow.
What happens if you put some meow meow and give it to your cat?
That's probably worse than catnip. But this poor boy, he just came home to visit for Christmas from university, and it looks like he took some Mephedrone and completely flipped out, attacking his mum and then himself. I like the way they type and talk over there in the UK. His mum.
Mm-hmm. My mum.
I guess this party drug is a synthetic amphetamine-like stimulant, which is also known by the names of Drone and MCAT. MCAT, capital MCAT.
You
should try it, dude.
I will.
It produces similar effects to drugs such as cocaine, causing the user to feel euphoria, but can also provoke paranoia and anxiety.
Remember when we asked somebody to come on the show to do that one drug?
Bath salts. Yeah, and stereo. It was bath salts, and no one would do it.
Yeah.
Jeff Simpson
now
said,
someone will come get some...
Mephedrone.
Meow meow and bath salts.
Some MCAT.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to tie you to a chair, though.
Yeah, and we will have to have an officer outside just in case something happens. Because, you know, when you take this meow meow... what happens is your body temperature changes, your heart rate increases, breathing difficulties occur, loss of appetite. So you won't have to have any of our pizza now.
Do you want to dance to loud trance music, though?
And I don't, but here's
what... I meant when you take it.
Oh, no. Well, it doesn't say that, but there you will suffer from discoloration of extremities.
Well, maybe that's why he cut it off.
It's this color.
Yep.
It's like purple.
It's green.
What is the deal?
That's weird.
Yeah, that is weird. And depression is the final thing that it can cause, and that's after you have cut off your discolored extremities. So look out for Mephedrone, kid. Meow, meow. Stay off drugs. Stay in school. And all that good stuff.
What about the difference between college and university?
Well, if you're from Canada, I know you call it university. Mm-hmm. I learned that from Trailer Park Boys.
Mm-hmm. And they say grade before the number.
Yeah, grade 10.
Mm-hmm. But here in America.
In America, it's always been out. I fucking fucked the chick in the seventh grade. I met her in grade 7. No, grade 7.
I saw somebody post, you know, I peruse internet posts sometimes. And somebody said that they were defending the use of crack, recreational use of crack.
Just ask Rob Ford.
Mm-hmm. And they said crack is just the hash of coke.
It is.
Is it?
Well, I've recently been reading that.
Don't they add things to it, though? Do you add baking soda to hash?
No, you, well, no, but you add something like, oh, what is that shit? You can make some weird hash and hash oil, which is also considered, you know, the crack of weed, by putting butane into it. And but the butane all disperses just as the baking soda all goes away, too. The baking soda you put in the water with the cocaine, and the baking soda and the water causes a reaction to cause all of the cocaine that's with no impurities come together in the middle in a rock. So it cooks out all the impurities. So maybe that's what they're doing with weed. It's just like a THC.
But you're not actually
extract.
Smoking the baking soda then.
No, no. No, you're just smoking pure pure, okay. unadulterated.
All right,
cocaine.
All right, then. I'll, then, all right.
I believe that's a fair statement that all it's the crack. And, shoo, man, I smoked some shit that the earwax that we smoked. Man, that stuff from Dave.
Oh man.
And that's all you do is you can go down here. Here's a lesson for you, kids.
I'd like to dip my McNuggets in that.
If you got a lot of extra trimmings that you don't really enjoy smoking because they're a little harsh and get resins on your lips just from taking one bong hit. But they're super crystalline. You're like, wow, this is like crystal leaf tea. I don't want to throw this away.
Yep.
And so what you do is you get yourself about a foot long piece of PVC pipe.
And then a Subway sandwich.
And you get two caps and you stuff the sandwich in there. No, wait. No, you stuff, you put a cap on the bottom and then you stuff it full as tight as you can stuff it with weed. And then you cap the other half and you put a hole in each end. And the top hole has to be big enough for your canister of 9 times purified butane from the head shop. Because you don't want to use that Ronson shit, because then you have to let it, like, set for 5 days, or else you're, like, smoking butane residue. And then you just, like, into the top of the thing, and after a while, this stuff, it's just like, it's like that amber stuff that they found the Jurassic Park dinosaurs in. It's just like... It's like tree pitch or sap.
But you want to be careful because you don't want to blow yourself up.
Oh, there's no flame involved whatsoever. You just spray the butane through the weed.
I know, but like you're talking about with that Ronson shit. I mean, if you just sprayed the fucking Ronson liquid butane on there.
Yeah, don't just spray butane on your weed and try to smoke it. That's not really how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, and it's awesome.
Is that somebody there?
Two microphones. I wonder if he's got one turntable.
Who's
did
that?
You see? I don't know. There's two microphones at the door.
I just saw two microphones at the door.
It's Mike and Mike. We got. It's look. They
there
look
they are
like
again, dude.
They look like twins.
Dude, I got a twin story that'll blow your mind.
Well, good.
But I'm saving it for Wednesday.
Well, you probably better go to the door and see who what these mics are. We've got two mics at the door. And they're on fire. Their mics are on fire.
It turns out to be Flames and his brother Mike and his other brother Mike.
Yep. And they just knocked on the window and...
Come and knock on my window.
We've been waiting for you, though.
Yeah. Do you think Melissa Etheridge wrote that song for Ellen?
To come to my window?
Yep.
Fuck you.
Come to my window, jump in and lick my vagina.
You know, I found out, though.
She's got a mangina.
It's funny that you'd ask that, because I recently researched that and found out that song was written about David Crosby.
Just hand me up your sperm. You don't need to come inside.
That's right. That's right.
That's a double entendre.
It is.
I like that, man.
Come in my window.
Yep. Yep. You don't need to come inside. Just hand it up.
Yep, that's right. And then we have a little lesbian baby that we get to raise, and it's going to be a rock star. I recently saw a 2013
it's probably old enough to be playing by now.
Concert of CSNY.
Mm-hmm.
No N. Or no. No.
CSY?
No, CS and N, sorry.
What about CKY? Who's playing in there? That's Crosby and Young.
And Kerry King. Crosby, King, and Young.
That would be crazy. No, if I had money, I would produce that record.
Dude, Stephen Stills thought he was Kerry King. I think he was really high or something, because he tried doing these weird newfangled sweeping things, but he was just like going...
Is that his band?
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Oh, no, I thought we were talking about the CKY.
No, I was talking about Crosby, Stills, and Nash, okay. And you tried to sidetrack me.
I know, CSN. You were saying CSY, and I said CKY, but you were talking CSN.
And then I said Kerry King.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So CSY.
Yeah, he was doing a CSN. Shitty thing, but their harmonies were okay, but David Crosby, he's so old and fat and gray. My daughter said he looks like Father Time. And I said, who's Father Time? Who's Father Time? I've heard of him.
Father Time is Father Time, dude.
Is that Mother Nature's husband?
Yep. Yeah, that is the opposite of Mother Nature and Father Time.
Wow.
You didn't know that?
Oh, I kind of did, but I didn't know that Father Time was the father of Melissa Etheridge's baby.
He does.
He's just putting cum in
her
window.
You've never seen a picture of Father Time?
I've seen a picture of David Crosby, Stills, mm-hmm. and Nash.
Father Time, he was a Christmas tree, wasn't he?
I think so.
Yeah.
His name was Doug.
Yeah, Father Time looks just like David Crosby.
Doug Fur, that was his name. Yeah. He was a noble.
In fact, I think that might be, that looks right there like
holy
David
shit.
Crosby playing that Father
is,
Time.
That is David Crosby.
I think it is in a Father Time costume. That's like Father Time costumes.
Then kudos to Dakota, and she wants to come on the show. She could be our youngest guest on the show.
There's another picture of him. He looks like the Grim Reaper.
That looks like an old, one. Bald Jim Louder.
Yep. Here's a tattoo of Father Time. He kind of looks like Jesus.
Yeah, or that one mean guy.
Mm-hmm.
Satan.
You mean Mr. Magoo?
No, I meant Satan.
Mr. Magoo?
No, Satan. Hey, I forgot to tell you, or maybe I did. On Saturday night, my wife went to a concert with her best friend and went and saw Hell's Bells and Floater at the McDonald Theater. Yeah.
How was that?
She said it was awesome, and there was a cool band that opened for them called the Dead Americans that had a chick singer and a dude, and she was like, or other dudes or whatever, she's like, it made me want to have, we could need to start a band. So she's on this, we're going to start a band thing now.
Oh, yeah?
So I guess me and my wife are starting a band.
Right on. You're a nice Father Time.
Wow, that's like the fucking cancer chemo version.
Carrot it's because he's timeless. It was a baby and an old man at the same time.
That's right.
You know, it's Monday.
It is Monday.
And today is the traditional last day of Christmas in Sweden and Finland. It's called Saint Nuts Day.
Saint Nuts?
I think it's Knuts. Because it was the guy was called like Knut or something like that.
Saint Knut's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school with some Knuts.
This is typically when they take down
the Christmas tree.
The Christmas tree and eat the ornaments off of it.
God damn, dude! We took our Christmas tree down and I ate one and I cut the fuck out of my mouth.
No, they decorate their tree with cookies and candy.
Oh, well, don't you
like candy cakes?
Well, that's cool, but cookies would get stale.
So, could you imagine just like today? Today, you decorated your tree with, let's say, 6 boxes of candy canes, right?
Uh-huh.
Today's the day you eat them all.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You're going to be hurting.
You are. That's going to be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to have, like, maybe a wide array of different snacks.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching that final episode of the Louis C.K. show, and he was taking his Christmas tree down, and he started taking a couple ornaments off and putting them in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just like grabbed the tree and was just like shaking the ornaments off the tree into the box. He's really disgruntled a lot of times.
There was a tree out here that even had the fucking stand on it. They didn't bother to take the stand off, but they bothered to wrap the tree in plastic.
Oh, man. Usually if you leave it in your backyard for a month or so, you can burn it and it's awesome.
Yeah.
It just goes.
Over there, though, in Finland, there is a tradition like Santa, but kind of like more like Krampus.
Krampus.
But people, they dress as goats. And then they go to people's houses and demand food and especially liquor.
Hey, remember Christmas? That's fucking crazy, dude. People do such weird things. Like, I don't even know what is going on right now.
You know the weirdest thing someone can do is die.
That's not weird because people do that every day.
I know, but it's weird when you do.
How is it weird?
I don't know. I was just thinking about recent deaths. like Taiwanese politician Chai Chong Rong.
Oh, I know that guy.
Yeah.
He's an asshole.
Yep. He was, because he would always get mad when no one could pronounce his name right. Well, and his name was Chai Rong Rong.
Because they always try wrong.
I know.
Hey, you try my name again. You say it wrong. You say Chai Rong Rong.
There's no out on my name.
That's like trying to pronounce that big fat Hawaiian dude's name from 51st Dates. You know that guy?
Who is it?
The ukulele player?
Mm-mm.
His name is Israel Kanika Makanakanogajoga.
What?
So that's not how you say it, but...
I know who you're talking about, but that's not his name.
His first name is Israel.
I don't have any idea who you're talking about.
Israel...
You're De Silva?
No. Kanika Noka Ojo or something.
Is it Ricky Tiki Timbo?
It's close to that.
You know about Scott Lewis recently died? He was an American stage hypnotist, and he fell from a balcony.
Wow.
I know. No word on whether he hypnotized himself to do it.
Well, this guy's dead, too. His name's Israel Kamakaviva Ole.
Kamakaviva Ole.
Kamakaviva Ole.
That'd be an awesome song.
Israel I can't say it. Kamakaviva Ole. I have to say it slowly. But anyway, who else died?
This guy might be the oldest rapper alive. He was a Hong Kong media mogul. He was 106. I don't know if he had anything to do with rap, but his name is Sir Run Run Shaw.
Oh, I was going to say he might be the oldest in Japan or wherever they are, but I have a rapper from a candy bar that my grandpa ate when he was like 2.
Really? No. What kind of candy bar?
I just made that up.
Oh, I was going to say.
It was a Clark bar.
Clark!
Clark bars are the worst.
I don't even know if I've ever had a Clark bar. What's in a Clark bar?
Chocolate and stuff.
Well, you know the worst candy bar ever is those fucking Uno bars.
What's wrong with those?
Do
you ever eat one while you're playing Uno?
No.
That's fucking fun, especially if you're with a bunch of Spanish people.
They look weird. They look like a dried dog turd. That's all
white. Speaking
of
dried dog turd, what about that fucking...
I just picked this up in my dog yard.
What about those mountain bars? Remember those?
Yeah.
Some were in a blue package red package, but they just look like a big dog turd.
Yeah. Well, look at the Idaho Spud. Just looks like a giant turd.
A mountain bar. It looks
Most
like
candy
a little...
bars just look like a turd because chocolate looks like a turd.
Baby Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
Like a turd in a punch bowl.
Yeah.
You stick out like a turd in a punch bowl, mm-hmm. son. I've almost forgot to ask you. Did you see our local boys from Portland on David Letterman the other night?
No, I didn't.
Red Fang on David Letterman.
Red Fang?
That's
my favorite Eagles song.
I talked to those guys, and they played with Yob, and now they're on David Letterman.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one... You're a closer degree to Kevin Bacon, aren't you?
Yeah, and also their new video stars Fred Armisen. Because they're from Portland and he's from Portlandia.
Oh,
new season starts next month.
Really? I'm not a fan.
Because you're from Albania.
I know. Just because I think that's too hipster.
Now, isn't there a weird stigma about most of the people who live in Albany?
What?
Besides meth.
Yeah, and that they stink like a paper mill. But that's actually
people
12 years ago.
The people that you see on the streets of Albany and maybe downtown, is there a certain air? Not a stinky air, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Like a social stigma of some store, to where we could create Albania. Because there's a YouTube series called Salemia. Did you know that? Have you ever watched that?
Yeah.
That's stupid. We could make it way better.
I think typically the Albany downtown business owner things, people tried to be more upscale than Albany actually is because they wanted to bring Corvallis over to Albany.
It'll be a total ripoff of Portlandia.
You know, and then it kind of matches with the I don't know. You know?
You don't know.
It's almost a smugness of trying to bring the Corvallis over. It's weird. You really have to almost work within that area to even know, you know? Because
yeah.
I was like when I worked at the bookstore down there. and the Venetian stuff like that, you know, that they're always trying to bring in clientele that doesn't live in Albany.
Yeah.
Because they wanted it to be...
Sounds like Brownsville on a smaller scale.
Yeah, see? See? Yeah. Probably, but I don't know that because I'd have to live in Brownsville to know, right?
Yeah, but Albany, I could just see it. We would focus on certain areas of the town. Mm-hmm. You could cash house and go in there and see what kind of tweakers come in trying to sell stuff or what kind of rock, self-proclaimed rock stars come in with their leather pants looking for a guitar.
I talked to Jeff about that, though. He said he doesn't think the guy from the cash house would like to do a pawn show there.
Well, okay.
No, I'm just saying because that's what I would think if you talk about the cash house, because that'd be kind of cool. It'd be interesting. Yeah. I think you could put a camera in there as like a little thing and set up things. Like you could pay somebody $5 to go in there and try to sell a chicken. Here's a live chicken. Will you? And I'll give you $5. Will you go in there and try to pawn this? You can keep any of the money you get for it.
That'd be a funny show. Just go around to pawn shops and
that's
give
what
people,
they do. Yeah.
Who does? No. Well, we could make. Dude, that's a fucking funny idea right there.
All
right. Just go to pawn shops in local area. Find someone who's getting ready to go in there and say, "Look,
just give them an item.
We're going to give you a hidden camera in your hat right here, and we're going to give you this chicken. I want you to go in there and pawn it. Now tell them." This chicken is way worth more than you would ever
sell
get
them
out
on
it. You know how many eggs you're going to get? And if you fucking kept those eggs and made more chickens, you got more chickens coming.
Mm-hmm.
You could eat them. It's going to save you money on food. Or like a used dildo or something that's all mm-hmm. discolored with the paint, like, wore off. So you could tell it was like really, really used.
Yeah.
And just
try to sell. Just hand somebody a used dildo, give them $5, and go try to sell this. You get to keep all the money you can get.
And they come out with $100. Like, all right, you're the winner for today.
Yep.
Okay, well, today we're going into Ace Buyers, and we're going to have this guy. He's trying to pawn an artificial leg that's been burned in a barbecue fire. Still bends. You can find a person with the right size stump. There's no, you don't tell me that there's not a lot of one-legged guys coming in here shopping for fucking artificial legs, because I know that's why they call it AAA.
We should. Well, okay, so let's just compile a list of things that we want people to sell at a pawn shop.
Yeah, and if you listeners got any ideas that you think would be ludicrous to mm-hmm. try to sell at a pawn shop.
Like a ludicrous CD.
Yeah, who's going to buy that? You can't even sell a good CD for 25 cents these days. They're not even worth much. You can't even, like, you could buy a coaster set your drink on for cheaper than a fucking CD these days.
I want to go to their local pawn shop and see how many Whitney Houston CDs there are in there, count them all, and get back to us.
Get back to us.
Dude, people have been selling, nobody's buying Whitney Houston CDs from pawn shops, let me tell you that for right now.
Okay.
But they've been buying Whitney Houston CDs, the pawn shops have, for as low as a dime, I guarantee you people are selling them for that.
They're probably giving them away.
No, exactly.
Actually, you probably can't give them away, actually.
Because I remember going there in 1993, and there was an abundance of Whitney Houston's CDs in there, and I know nobody was buying them then. Nobody's buying them now.
Someone had to have been buying them.
Nope.
Nope.
Not for their price, man. You couldn't even sell. Would you buy a Whitney Houston CD for a nickel?
No. I would not.
Neither would I. I don't know anybody would.
Someone might.
Well, someone might. That's only selling one.
Well, you know.
Worldwide.
What are you going to do? She's dead.
How many Bodyguard soundtracks are at the pawn shop?
Kevin Costner bought them all. All right, today we're doing some celebrity birthdays and one local friend of ours. We'll get him out of the way first because they matter more. J.D. Monroe, the turntable enabler, local DJ and drummer from, what was that band that he played in with Dave Trinkle? Zenit Raw. Thanks.
Ah.
You guys are helping me a lot. Happy birthday, JD.
Happy birthday, man.
39. He's the new 40. Now, you know this guy, Trevor Rabin.
Ah!
How old do you think Trevor... You know who Trevor Rabin is? Flames doesn't know, but you know, don't you? Of course you do. Just say
talking
yes.
about like a celebrity, Trevor Rabin?
Yeah. Just say that you know. Just answer the question. Do you know who Trevor Rabin is?
Yes.
Yes. He played for Yes. That's what I was trying to get at.
No.
He's on 902
210. Not no. I mean, 90.
I was thinking he was the guitar player from Nine Inch Nails.
No, he's no, no. He's the guitar player from Yes, dude.
I don't know. I don't know why that popped in my mad.
He is the one responsible for that fucking awesome Owner of a Lonely Heart.
Yeah. That's a nice tone.
It is.
I got to tell you about some tones.
Do it.
But you're in birthdays.
Okay, we'll get to the tones after this. How old do you think Trevor? You don't know who he is, so I'm not going to ask.
He's well, I would guess he's Owner of a Lonely Heart was like 1986? Or is that early? 88?
Three or four.
What?
Yeah.
All right. 83. All right, I'll buy it. I'll buy it. But, which is bitter for me because a great song, a great solo even, a great tone. But, I mean, Steve Howe was
Yes. Yeah. And plus, yeah, his last name, you'd be an Indian and everything. Anyway, Trevor Rabin.
63.
59. You were close.
I know. I and heard you say f.
Too. Here's a lady that is older than I thought she was. Elaine from Seinfeld.
Ah!
Julia Louis C.K. Dreyfus.
61.
Oh, 53. Damn, she's pissed at you. And who remembers this great star, William Hung.
Dude, he's my favorite fucking American Idol contestant.
I know, he's still awesome.
He's made more records than any other American Idol contestant.
So happy birthday to William. He's the big 3-0 today.
Wow.
Yeah, he's just a kid.
It's all downhill from here, William.
That's right. Sorry, they hung you out to dry pretty much. But yeah, speaking of tone, before you get into your tone story, I saw Mike Scheit from Yob posted the song Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap by AC/DC and said one word with the post, tone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd never really thought about the awesomeness of the tone of Angus and Malcolm back in the day, but whatever. I saw you posted something that said something about Killer Guitar Tone, and it was a band that I don't believe that I was familiar with.
Dude, I wasn't familiar with any of these bands.
Well, you are now, eh?
Yep. But now I can't seem to find them. Oh, here we go. Oh.
Where are we going?
We're going all the way back to the early 70s. You remember the early 70s? Did you do a lot of music?
Listened to music.
Your parents likely had many early 70s albums. In fact, I know they did.
I still have most of them.
All right.
I've got albums by bands like Cactus. Mm-hmm. Fucking Cat Mother.
All right. Well, I sent you a version of Sin's a Good Dead Man's Brother. Did you check that out?
I didn't. I'm lame.
Dude, Sin's a Good Man's Brother. You know that song, right?
Yeah.
This is by an album.
Is it Grand Funk Railroad?
No, it's by Suck. You know that band?
No.
Suck.
Is it after the Monster Magnet version?
Dude, 1970. Suck was around.
So, what? When did they do Sin's a Good Man Brother? Because that was like
1970.
But that was written by Mark Farner.
I know. It was back in the time when you did a cover song would become
popular right when it came
right
out.
After it came out.
Okay, I can understand and appreciate
that. They also
that.
Did a version of War Pigs that some people consider like a great classic, and they do Season of the Witch. This band's called Suck. And
wow.
One of their albums, Time to Suck.
Fucking weird. That's like a band called Death.
Mm-hmm. In 1970 is
pretty
out
there. Yeah, this was 70s too.
But these guys are fucking... Dude, they're up there as far as, like, fucking toad. I enjoyed listening to the entire album.
I'm going to check them out.
Yeah, maybe
you
we
know
could
who else
play
I should...
them at the beginning or something. But they did a version of Seasons of the Witch, dude, that sounded almost like fucking more like fucking totally different song. It sounded like fucking She's Not There almost. I mean, it was all weird. It was fucking had this super long-ass intro that was all fucking psychedelic experimental fucking drumming fucking it was crazy shit, man.
Sounds like it.
Season of the Witch had like a 9-minute song.
I wonder if Hond has ever heard of Suck.
I bet you he has.
I doubt it. He hasn't heard of everything.
All right.
What's in Hond's CD player today? Not Suck. I bet it's not Suck. You guys got any guesses? Oh, you're never going to guess. Never mind.
No way!
Steve Von Till. Who the fuck's Steve Von Till?
Steve Von Till. That's my favorite Eagles song.
He's live. That's my favorite White Stripes song. He's listening to an album called A Grave is a Grim Horse.
His original name, he did, you know, was Steve Von Register, but he shortened it to Steve Von Till.
His brother's middle name is Un.
His
Jerry Until.
Come on, you know Steve Von Till. He's better known as singer and guitarist for fucking Neurosis.
Oh, see, I don't know those guys' name, and I didn't even know that.
I didn't either. I'm looking it up.
Okay, good. Thanks for researching that, so I sound more like an idiot, but we'll keep my listeners, our listeners, informed. Mm-hmm. Steve Von Till, a grave is a grim horse to ride. It doesn't say that, but I added that to the end there. But check that album out. It's probably good. Maybe
he
a little bit.
He replaced Chad Salter in '89 in Neurosis.
Oh, that's why I don't know him, because when I saw Void open for Neurosis, oh wait, that got canceled.
I bet you didn't know his father was Stephen Von Till Sr.
I didn't, because there was no JR on the Stephen Von Till that
I'm
looking at. I
know, he's a civil attorney in San Fran.
Also, I took a trip down memory road and even got the little CD insert out and tried to read the scribblings on the inside of Pink Floyd's The Wall.
Huh.
And I had only listened to... I've heard all the songs on the radio, but to listen to the entire album in its entirety is always kind of cool. And I hadn't done that for a while, so.
Uh-huh.
Hey, kids, check out The Wall. And then take some acid and watch the movie.
Yeah.
It's fun. Speaking of acid, on Wednesday I'm going to talk about Cheech and Chong's animated movie because I finally got to watch that. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah? How animated was it?
It's a cartoon. It was totally animated. It was weird. And other than that, I think we're almost ready to get out of here.
I wanted to tone it up a little bit more.
Do it. Talk about tone, dude.
But I got Facebook fucking mobiles.
One of my favorite CDs that I got is Tone Loc.
Tone Loc.
He had that song called Chiba Chiba.
Dude, I had that album.
I have the CD. You should give it a spin because I love my Mary Jane. She's my main thing.
Yeah. He was fucking rapping about stupid shit, you know, not like fucking putting bullets in people's
heads.
He was
singing about rolled up by my roaches, barely made a penna.
Uh-huh.
That sucks when you roll up all your roaches and it barely makes a penner.
That is, dude.
That's a classic line from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what do you got for tone?
My fucking everything's weird on fucking mobile.
I know it is. I'm sick of it. I'm gonna kill everybody.
I fucking can't find anything that I watched or anything on YouTube.
Well, you know what? Speaking of YouTube, I'm fucking pissed as hell because now Google has, like, consolidated everything with everything. And now when I go to my YouTube...
I'm sure that's part of it because I had to do that shit all over again on my goddamn phone.
And then I didn't know my password because I've been logged into YouTube for years and never had to log in. And then it says, oh, so now Hotmail and Gmail and fucking... goddamn YouTube are all like on a Google thing, and
yep.
Now that I fucking can't get into my YouTube. I'm in on my phone, but I can't get in on my computer.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, I'm not either, man.
What's kissing?
All right, let me give you one more try on this.
Okay, one more try.
Yeah, never mind.
Never mind?
Dude, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
You don't know what the fuck's going on?
Nope.
Well, you better figure it out. This is some thinking music for you, just in case you forgot.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
All right. Well, that's all right.
Nothing is nothing.
Don't even worry about it. We're going to wrap this shit up then.
All right, let's do it.
Thanks for listening on a Monday. Hey, we'd like to thank our awesome sponsors, Pizza Now.
Oh, man, they're awesome.
They are.
Did you hear about that new thing they got going on?
I'm not sure if I did.
Oh, dude, man. They're doing a thing now. They're going to have a new pizza every month that's only available during that month.
That is awesome.
And this month, it is the motherfucking... It's the chicken cordon bleu pizza.
Holy shit.
You like chicken cordon bleu?
I do. I used to get these frozen motherfuckers that my parents used to get, and they were like a little frozen chicken cordon bleu fucking thing.
Are you a fan of a creamy Alfredo base?
Sometimes, yeah. Not on a pizza, though, I've had to say.
I'm not a huge fan of that, but, you know, I mean, each their own. Some people really love the Alfredo base. They top it with spinach, chicken, ham, mozzarella, and aged Swiss.
Wow.
And it will be available until the end of the month. A large, just $11.99. That is at Pizza Now.
That's right. 1705 Southeast Hill Street. Call them up at 928-0900.
That is awesome, though, man. A new pizza every fucking month that you can only get during that month.
And to keep up on that, if you don't want to go down there, you can view their menu online at pizza-now.com. Follow them on Facebook and Twitter for special fucking things every day. They give you special deals and shit. Giveaways and
bites.
Don't forget to go to our website, tankcastpodcast.com. Click on the Amazon banner and do some shopping, or just click on the donate icon, and that will take you straight to our PayPal account.
We love our donators.
Give us a dollar or something to keep our show up and running.
A dollar is all we need.
And if you happen to listen to us on iTunes, please rate and review our show. And don't forget, you can find us on Stitcher and TuneIn. Also, go to terrygile.com to find out what's going on in the world of Terry Guile, whoever that is. Fucking weirdo.
I would like to remind people that Wednesday, you know, I know I'll do a show Wednesday, but I want people to be able to plan to do this because it's Arbor Day on Wednesday in Egypt. Plant a tree in the desert.
Where can we go to do that? We're going to have to drive to Bend.
No, we've got to go to Egypt.
Oh.
It's Arbor Day in Egypt. So people get ready with their tree, get your tree picked out, which one you're going to plant there.
Yeah,
and I bet if you can't make it, I bet you could email someone in Egypt. I bet they'd be happy. If they're already planting a tree, I bet you they'd be happy to plant another.
Trees probably don't grow that good.
Well, that's why they need an Arby Day.
Well, whatever. All right, go plant a tree in Egypt and come back and listen to us on Wednesday. We're going to have some tone talk. We're going to talk about tones.
Yeah, hopefully.
We're going to talk about... what else? We're going to talk about some more crazy Florida stories, and we're going to talk about the retirement of Dan Lilker. Sad day in the metal world. All right, you guys, thanks for listening. Thanks to Floyd for the new background music that we're using now. And you guys have a great Monday.
And rock on.
Yeah, and metal. By Gatch. Welcome to Plugs, everybody. I'm going to give you some shows to go to. If there's any aspiring comics in the area, you should go to the open mics and try your stuff out. It's fun. Every Tuesday at the Capital City Theater in Salem at 8 p.m. It's $5 if you're not performing, but it's free if you are. So go there and perform and have a good night. Every Wednesday at the Tiny Tavern in Eugene, 4th and Blair, with Mac Chase as your host at 9 p.m. And every Thursday at the Green Room with your host, Nick Huff. He'll huff and he'll puff and he'll blow your ass down. Other comedy shows coming soon to areas near you include January 25th, it's Bleepin' Funny at the Sam Bonds Garage in Eugene. It starts at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's an early show. It's free, though. This month, featuring Max Brockman, Gina Ginsburg, Isaac Paris, Sarah Lowe, Melody Dodd, and myself, as well as your hostess with the mostest, Leanne Jashway. And also later that night in Eugene at the Greenery, which is on 5th, right by the public market there. Comedy is Advertised with Seth Milstein. The 9 p.m. show, sliding scale $3 to $5, depending on what you can afford and like when you get there and stuff. There'll be an open mic after the show, so do that. January 31st, it's a Friday night, Grand Slam Comedy Show in Albany at the Denny's Lounge. It's going to be Flames' birthday party, as far as I know. It's a free show, it's 9 p.m. Seth Milstein, Mac Chase, Mike McGowan, and Max Brockman. Possibly if I can talk him into it, a set by Dustin. Because I'm going to host this one, because I've been doing sets every show, and now I'm feeling like I'm just telling the same jokes, but I just I gotta get over that myself. Wait, this is plugs, not an area for me to decide what's wrong with me. Valentine's Day, that's my 5-year anniversary. It's gonna be the couples comedy show in Brownsville at the saloon there. Doug and Teresa Wickoff are coming over from Florence for the He and She comedy show. Their relationship is a joke, and they share it with us. It's Brownsville Saloon, February 14th, 9 o'clock. I think it's a free show. And then February 26th at the Mill Casino in Coos Bay, it's me, Tay Gal, doing comedy at 7 and 9:30, opening for someone who's more professional and better than me. But I'm going to do my first casino gig, so please come and see me if you live in the Coos Bay area. I don't know anybody that lives there, but whatever. This Friday night at the Hawthorne Theater, it's World of Lies opening for DRI. It's going to be an awesome show. $15 in advance, $18 at the door. Vultures in the Sky and Roadkill Carnivore will also play. Those bands should always play together because that's just like they go together. Let's see what else. Zappa plays Zappa at the Roseland Friday, January 31st. If you don't go to our comedy show, maybe you'll go to that. I don't know. It's too expensive for me. Sunday, February 2nd at the Hawthorne Theater, it's Soulfly with local bands American Roulette and Chronological Injustice. $20 at the door. No, $25 at the door, excuse me. $20 in advance. Death Angel is coming to Hawthorne Thursday, February 27th. $16 in advance, $20 at the door. And March 17th, it's The Sword with Big Business and Oh Brother. $20 and $25, the prices on those. And then March 30th, Roseland Theater, Carcass, Black Dahlia, Murder, Gore Guts, and Noisem. I don't know who Noisem is, but that's a funny name. Haven't had a chance to see Carcass in years. I know you haven't either, so you should probably go to that show. So as you can tell, there's lots of good stuff coming up. Please get out and do something. It's good for your constitution. And we fought for that shit, so... That's plugs for now. Thanks for listening to the show. Go back to tagcastpodcast.com and listen some more. We'll talk to you next time. Peace out.